Welcome to another message from LifePoint Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on LifePoint Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. It's an honor to be with you this morning. We are very grateful for this church. We've been missionaries since 1989, and I think this church has maybe supported us since 1990, so we are very grateful. Appreciate Steve and Robin so much, and many of you. Now, if you have been to Colombia on a missions trip, please stand up. Don't be shy back there. All right. Give these guys a hand, would you? You guys have really blessed Colombia. For those of you that were in there in 2017 at Tocancipá, man, they're doing great, and we're just able recently to start having limited services, and, you know, they're doing well. Those in Soacha, they still haven't been able to have church, but believing that pretty soon they'll be able to get back. And their problem is it's so poor, hardly anyone has internet, so it's hard to do online stuff. So they would appreciate your prayers, but we really appreciate all of you people that have come and look forward to having you guys again, hopefully in a year or two. So anyway, we came back to the States around the end of March to begin visiting churches for our year here, and guess what? Our first 2 months were canceled, so... It is what it is, but we're grateful that since June, we've been able to be in churches weekly, and grateful to God for his faithfulness. If you have your Bible with you this morning, would you turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, please? Galatians chapter 6. I want to share a scripture that we've probably heard many times, and it's literally a biblical law. It's a spiritual principle that's literally in the whole Bible. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says this: "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." Let's read verse 8. "The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Again, verse 7, the last part says, "A man reaps what he sows." That's a great promise. That's an awesome promise, because if we're sowing well, we're going to reap well. But there's another side of that too. If we're not sowing well, we won't reap well. In other words, whatever we plant is what we get. Whatever we sow is what we reap. And you know, this is a biblical law. It's a principle, but it's also true in the world. It's like, farmers know this well. If we want a good wheat harvest, we have to plant good wheat seed. Amen. If we want a good wheat harvest, we can't plant corn. That's pretty deep right there. We reap what we sow. We have to be careful in this day and age that we are sowing good things. I remember a sad example of this in my life. I shared with the first service, but I remember back in the late 60s, I was like a fifth grader, and there was kind of a popular musical group in those days. Does anyone remember the Beatles? A few of you, okay. And me and my buddies got to thinking, you know what? Man, these Beatles, they're famous, they're rich, all the girls love them. You know what? Let's form a band, and we're going to be as famous as the Beatles. Might take a month or two, but we know we're going to get there. And man, we got together. We started writing songs, and they were good. You know what I mean? They were They were deep, you know, for a fifth grader. And we were writing songs. We were making all these plans. The future looked bright. But what was the problem? We had like one beat up old acoustic guitar that none of us could play. We couldn't sing. And we did not have time to study music or do all that. We just wanted to be famous. In other words, we did not so well. And the sad thing was, about a month or two later, our famous group broke up and no one ever heard of us. Because you reap what you sow, and we did not sow well. It's time to sow good seeds. Now, let me ask you this. I asked it before, but when you think of Colombia, be honest, what's the very first thing you think of? What? God bless the coffee person. But let's face it, we don't have the best, or we haven't had the best reputation. We think we're grateful that things are changing. You know, for eons, we've been the world supplier of cocaine and a lot of negative things. But you know what? Little by little, Colombia's changing. 15 or so years ago, we were by far the world's leader in kidnapping. They were kidnapping up to 3,500 people every year in Colombia. Now it's just several hundred. Praise the Lord. Little by little, God's kingdom is growing and Colombia's changing. You say, why is that? I believe it's because for many years and many times at great cost, God's servants have been planting good seeds in Colombia, and they're starting to see a harvest all over that nation, and we thank God for it. Now, I want to share with you this morning a few powerful seeds, and how do you know we're talking about seeds, that they're powerful? There's potential in a seed to feed a country, to start a forest. There's a lot of power in seeds, and here's a couple of powerful spiritual seeds we all need to be sowing, and they all have a great harvest. The first one is this, and these are things we've heard before, friends, but it's good to hear them again. The first seed we should all be planting in our lives is the powerful seed of prayer and intercession. In 2020, like never before, God's people need to be praying and seeking His face. It's time to pray. I love that old scripture many of us know. Back in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God talking to King Solomon, He said, "If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin." And what else? Heal their land. Does anybody believe we need some healing in our land? Does anyone believe we need some healing in our world? Well, I tell you what, we need to pray. We need to pray for our world and for our country. And we need to raise up our voices in these days. And you know what? I know a lot of people are discouraged, even maybe more so this week. You know, a lot of people are down. A lot of people are discouraged. But I want to tell you, this morning, what is this, November 7th, 2020, I have great hope. I have awesome hope. You say, why is that? It's because right now, literally like never before in history, like never before in the history of the church, God's people everywhere are praying about the same thing. This COVID has been a blessing, though, a curse to the whole world. Think how it's affected us. But you know what? It's hit everywhere. But here's the good news. Right now in Colombia, people are praying against this. They're praying against it in Colombia. They're praying against it in Canada. They're praying against it in Spain, in Germany, in Russia. They're praying against it in China, Thailand, Japan, Cambodia. They're praying against it in India. They're praying against it in Nigeria and Sudan and Zimbabwe. All over the world, millions of people are raising up their voices, planting this powerful seed, and I believe something powerful is about to hit our world in the name of Jesus, because our God answers prayer. We're going to see something good in our world. A good harvest is coming. Let's keep praying for your church. You need to pray regularly for your pastors, for this place. And we need to be praying for our country like never before. Anyone believe that God can still send a revival to the United States of America? We need to pray. And you know what? We would appreciate your prayers for the wonderful, beautiful people of Colombia. And I can almost guarantee you that everyone that's been to Colombia has fallen in love with Colombia. Amen? It's an awesome, awesome place. But let's pray for that land. And I've often felt like if Colombia could just experience a crazy revival, man, it would have an impact all the way to Valley Center, Kansas. You say, why is that? Well, you know, I hope there's no drug problem in Valley Center or Sedgwick County. I don't know. I'm not from here. But if there is, wouldn't it be cool if it could be slowed down because people on that side of the world are getting saved? Some of those big drug guys, some of them have. But pray for us for a great revival. And they've been hit really hard by COVID. You know, they were poor to begin with, not the best medical care. So pray for Colombia. And as your representatives to Colombia, we would appreciate your prayers. If you could do us a big favor, go by our table and get one of our cards to remember us in prayer, we would appreciate it. I remember, I believe it was about 2000, I was in the States preaching, and a guy came up to me after a service, shook my hand, looked me in the eyes, smiled, and said, Bruce, I'm really going to be praying for you. We love to hear that, right? He went on to say, I'm going to pray for you because God told me the devil's going to try to kill you next term in Colombia. Now, man, do me a favor. If God tells you that, don't tell me. Amen. And we thank God over these many years for his protection in watching over us. I've almost been kidnapped a couple of times, just missed a big bomb that killed several people, been in, you know, some earthquakes, things robbed, kids robbed at knife point, our kids, and all kinds of stuff. But we thank God for his protection. And I found out last Christmas Eve, just less than a year ago, that an elevator is not a good place to be in during an earthquake. All right, I advise you against that. That whole thing was moving. And very sadly, man, back in whenever it was, May or June, when riots were breaking out across the United States, and me and Lisa were watching the news one night and just kind of looked at each other and thought, wow, we feel right at home now, you know. So anyway, and by the way, the Last Valley Center missions team is one of the only teams we've had that got caught in a riot. Fortunately, not too bad, and just a little tear gas got in the men's van because our windows were down, right? So anyway, it was a lot of fun. Right? Thank you, Robin. See, awesome. All right. I know I've shared this here before, but I'd like to share it again. In 2005, I was invited to preach a youth camp in Colombia. You know, I was like the national youth leader for many years in Colombia. Our first 3.5 terms, I did a lot of youth ministry. For some reason, I'm not doing that much anymore. I'm not sure what that would be, but I think I do know what that is. I'm a little older now, okay? But anyway, I was invited to preach a youth camp in 2005 in the mountains above Cali, Colombia, way up high in the mountains. It was really cold up there. And I had known that it used to be a dangerous area because of guerrilla group influence, but they said, no, they're all gone. It's all cleaned out. There's no problem. So I took my then, 14-year-old son Nathan with me to preach a youth camp. Had a great youth camp. God bless. Kids filled with the Spirit, stirred up for the kingdom. It was awesome. The last night was a Sunday night. Another great service. God did some really cool things. And then after the service, we're just hanging out. You know, they were making a snack in the cafeteria for us. I was in a room with the pastor, with my son, with some Colombian teenagers, just hanging out. And this girl comes running in from the cafeteria where they were making a snack, looked all upset, and she comes to the pastor. Pastor, come quick. He says, what's up? She says, Pastor, three men just walked in out of the night. They're wearing masks, they're carrying automatic weapons, and they say they're guerrilla members, Pastor, and they want to see the gringos. Gringo, son, gringo. And I'm thinking, man, of all the times to bring Nate to a camp, why did I bring him to this one? This was very serious. I said, son, come with me. We walked out of that room, walked across the campground, got out of the light, walked up a little ways further up the mountain, close enough to see and hear what was going on, and basically sat down in some grass under some trees. Man, it was freezing, didn't have time to get a coat. And for about an hour and a half, those guys were there threatening the kids, stealing things, saying they were going to take kids to their camp, which means they were going to kidnap people. It was very, very scary. But after an hour and a half, a great miracle happened. You say, what happened? The Colombian military showed up at the front gate. That never happens. You say, how'd that happen? One of the Colombian teens was also hiding out, and he got a cell phone signal up there. There was hardly any cell phone signal. Called down in Cali, got a hold of his mom, who just happened to be good friends with the general at the military base in Cali. She calls her general friend, and he gets special forces up there in an hour and a half. So that's kind of good news, but the pastor's wife is like going, don't come on the camp. We don't want these kids in a firefight. So it boiled down to the army leader negotiated with the guerrilla leader. The guerrillas realized they were outgunned and outmanned. And so the army guy said, listen, if you guys leave and don't harm these kids, we'll give you at least a half hour till we start coming after you. And the guerrillas thought, well, all right, we'll take that deal. Things aren't looking good, all right? So thank the Lord, they left. That was the good news. The bad news was their only way to leave was up the hill where I'm hiding with my son. And I mean from like me to that piano, a guy goes walking by in the dark. And man, we're laying down in that grass, not moving. And he actually stopped for a minute or two right by us. But then he kept going. He didn't see us. Thank the Lord. I'm grateful that Jesus protected us that night on the mountain. I shared that to share this. I was sharing that testimony a few months later here in the States at a church. A gentleman came up to me and said, Bruce, I want you to know that very night, Jesus laid you on my heart for some reason. I was praying for you that night. And you know what? That might be why we're here this morning. We would appreciate your prayers. It's a powerful seed that has a great harvest. The gospel will go forth in Colombia, in our country. When we pray, it's a powerful seed. Another seed we need to be sowing in these days, church, is the powerful seed of giving and generosity. You know, your giving is sowing a seed. And it has a harvest. It's blessing people in Valley Center. It's blessing people in Kansas. But it's also blessing people around the world. Look with me, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 6. And by the way, in this text, Paul's talking about an offering he was receiving from the Corinthian church to help the Judean church who was going through a hard time. He's talking about an offering. He says this, 2 Corinthians 9, 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's designed his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. That's cool. God loves a cheerful giver. I think sometimes during our offerings, God is just in a great mood. He's all happy, checking out his people, looking for cheerful, generous givers. God loves a cheerful giver. I believe he loves a cheerful giver because he's the most cheerful, generous giver there is. Is anybody glad and happy that God is generous? For God so loved the world that he, and friends, he gave the very best of heaven, his only begotten son. Hallelujah. And you might say, Bruce, what are you doing mentioning offerings, mentioning finances? Don't you know we're in a crisis? Don't you know we're in a difficult time? Yes, I do, friends. But in times like this, it's still important that we're generous. And the last time I checked, there's no crisis in heaven. God's doing pretty good. Hallelujah. Our generosity produces fruit for the kingdom. Now, I'll be honest, and you've probably figured it out, we're not the greatest in the world, but you know what? Over these many years in Colombia, we've had a part in the raising up of more than 70 new churches, some of them today with hundreds, some with hardly any, but praise God, we've seen thousands of people come to Jesus all across Colombia. Some of that was thanks to your teams, by the way. Helped to build several churches, couple Bible colleges, seen many young people filled with the Spirit, set free, called, all kinds of good stuff. All that fruit you saw in the video this morning, all of that is really cool and great fruit. And why is it? It's number one, God's mercy and grace. But number two, it's because people like you are generous. Dear friends, your generosity produces fruit for the kingdom of Jesus in Kansas and around the world. Let's keep sowing the powerful seed of generosity. And like I mentioned in the other service, how cool is it going to be in heaven when we're up there, I don't know what we're doing, just chilling somewhere on some side of heaven, and a couple of Colombians start looking out at looking for some people from Valley Center just to say thanks for coming on that team. I gave my life to Jesus that week, and then my family got saved, and then my neighbors got saved. How cool is that going to be? Your generosity is a powerful seed with multiple harvests that you can't even imagine. Hallelujah. The last seed I want to hit this morning, These are great seeds that have great harvests. The last one is, let's keep sowing, planting the powerful seed of faithfulness and service right here in Valley Center. Let's keep being faithful in difficult times. Let's keep serving in difficult times. What are we doing for the kingdom, friends? If I could use a sports analogy, it's time to get off the bench and get into the game. I believe the game's nearing its end. Anyone here believe that Jesus is coming back soon? Something we've preached forever? Anyone believe it? I believe it. And I'm telling you, what we're going to do for him, we better do now. We better do like never before. We need to get involved. You need to say, Pastor Steve, what can I do for the kingdom? How can I help? I don't want to just be here. I want to serve the King and his kingdom until he returns. Find out, friend, what you can do for the kingdom, and let's get involved. Lisa and I just had a good time. We went to share with your children's church at the start of the service, and that was really fun, by the way. And they're a little more active than you guys, you know what I'm saying? But it was a good time, and it just hit me as we left. And I said, you know, kids, wouldn't it be great if some of you could be a missionary someday? And they were like, yeah, you know what I mean? There could be some missionaries sitting right here, and you don't even know it yet. Wouldn't that be cool if God called you to missions or to the ministry or to whatever? Why? Because you're a seed, and God is going to use your life for a harvest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's keep serving and being faithful, because it will produce a harvest of Kansas souls, Sedgwick County, Valley Center souls for Jesus. Seeds are powerful. We need to sow good seeds daily. We need to sow seeds in our own lives of His Word, of His presence every day, to have victory in these difficult times. I love the scripture in Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, what He used to do, man, He's still doing. And thank the Lord for it. We have, tons of testimonies of God's power that we've seen and experienced and heard in Columbia. Let me just share one with you this morning. Our very first term, way back in the early 90s, we were privileged to work with a pastor named Alfonso and his wife Ellie in planting a church in a poor, difficult area of Cartagena, Columbia, up on our north coast. Wonderful couple, and God's using them in a great way. But they have a great testimony. They didn't grow up in the church, didn't know about the Lord. They lived in Sincelejo, just down the coast from Cartagena. They met as young people, fell in love, started living together. And Ellie was kind of a good girl, but Alfonso was just a typical bad guy down there, mean, gang type of a guy, involved in drug running, so just not a very good guy. Well, Ellie got pregnant, and they decided to get married, so they got married. And somewhere in the middle of that pregnancy, Ellie started attending a little spirit-filled church that was close to him. And wouldn't you know it, she gave her heart to Jesus. Praise the Lord. But that just ticked Alfonso off, man. He got mad at her. He abused her, mistreated her. And anytime she'd say anything about Jesus, he'd just go off. He didn't want to hear anything about the Lord. Well, came time to give birth. In the birthing process, in a little clinic there in Sincelejo, as the baby was being born, Ellie began to hemorrhage severely. Thankfully, the baby was born healthy, but she passed out because of blood loss, and then a terrible infection set in. She went into a coma, and within a day or so, the doctor said, Alfonso, there is nothing we can do. All we know is your wife is dying. She probably won't last through this day. We are sorry. And here he is with this little baby thinking, what in the world am I going to do? All that gang drug guy could think of doing was, I'm going to walk down to that little church and talk to her pastor. So he walks down, knocks on the door. Pastor, you know, I'm Alfonso Quintana. And the pastor's like, yeah, we've heard about you, man. And he said, Pastor, my wife is lying in the clinic dying. Would you pray for her? He's like, oh, you know, we love Ellie. But let me ask you this, Alfonso, I will gladly pray for your wife. But tell me something, if Jesus touches your wife, what are you going to do? He's like, well, you know, I don't even really believe in him, but if I saw that, I surely would give my life to him. They prayed. He said a simple prayer for her, the pastor. Alfonso walked back to the clinic, bracing himself to see his wife maybe already passed away. He walked into that little hospital room, and friends, Ellie Quintana was sitting up on the side of the bed, brushing her hair. God did a mighty miracle. He healed her 100%. Alfonso said, Ellie, what happened? She said, I don't know. I just woke up, felt pretty good, took these tubes out. When do we go home? Praise Jesus, He healed Ellie Quintana. But that's not the best news. The best news happened a few minutes later when Alfonso Quintana tough gang drug guy falls on his knees and says, Jesus, I'm sorry for how I lived. Would you forgive me, Jesus? Would you come into my life? And Jesus came into Alfonso's heart and life, changed him, and set him free. And friends, God has used them in a mighty way. We had the privilege this last December of being in Cartagena preaching like their 26th anniversary. And there were hundreds of poor people in that church just rejoicing in praising Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because nothing is impossible with God. And you know what? And I've mentioned this many times this morning. These are different times. These are difficult times. And someone here might be discouraged this morning. Someone might be really worried. Someone might be depressed this morning. Maybe a little cold spiritually. You're thinking, what in the world is going to happen? What's going on? Well, I'm here to tell you that nothing is impossible with God, that he's faithful, that his promises are yes and amen. And I believe today he can meet your need. I believe that. You know, many times people ask us, why are you missionaries? Well, there's many reasons. I could stand here for the next hour and share lots of things. And I will if Steve would like me to. But anyway, no, just kidding. There's many reasons. But the biggest reason for me happened on August 21st, 1977. It was a Sunday. You say, what happened? Well, you know, I didn't grow up in the church. I didn't know about being born again. I didn't know that, you know, Jesus was life, that he was the answer. And to make a long story short, I'm not going to bore you with the details because you've heard these stories all before. But to make a long story short, when I was 20 years old, I had a life basically wrecked because of all the junk and garbage I was doing. Remember what our scripture says? A man reaps what he sows. I was a product of sowing bad seeds, and it reaped a bad harvest. All the junk I was doing, I had a ruined life. I had a mind almost destroyed because of all the drugs I was doing in those days. Just a wrecked life with no hope, no future. And that was me. But on August 21st, Sunday, August 21st, 1977, people say, Sunday, you finally got up and went to a good church, right? No, I woke up late, realized I was a long ways from where I was supposed to be with no way to get to where I had to go. So that Sunday afternoon, I'm standing alongside a highway up in northwest Iowa, hitchhiking. And man, no one would pick me up. I think I know why. I don't look that great today, but I looked really bad back then. You know what I mean? And no one would pick me up. Finally, after a long time, this little car stopped, and I got excited. Finally, I hopped in the back seat, and friends in the front seat were two young people that loved Jesus and wanted to tell others about his love, wanted to plant some seeds to see if there could be a harvest. And they started telling me some good news, that Jesus was alive, that he was powerful. He wasn't some fairy tale. He was real. And he loved people like I was at that time. And he had power and love to forgive and change. Well, you know what? About 30 miles later, still sitting in the back seat of that car, I started crying out to Jesus. I didn't even know if he was real or not. Saying, Jesus, my life is a wreck. If you're real, I need some help. And friends, at about 4 o'clock that afternoon, the presence of Jesus came into that car, came into this heart. And friends, that very hour, he touched me, he forgave me, he made me a new person. And I walked out of that car different when I walked in, born again by the power of Jesus. And more than any other reason, that's why I'm a missionary. And as I mentioned earlier, I believe he's coming back soon. And with the rest of our lives, we want to serve him with whatever we have in it's time to plant seeds in our lives and in the world. And if we do, watch out for what God can do. Would you pray with me this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you so much for these kind people and their patience. Father, I pray that you would minister to your people. I pray that you would encourage and bless your people in this church today. Strengthen them in you. Build them up in you today. God, bless Pastor Steve and Robin and all the staff members, God. Anoint them. Give them fresh strength, fresh encouragement, fresh vision. Lord, bless this church. Even in these difficult days like never before, meet the needs of your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Friends, would you be so kind to just close your eyes for a second, just for a second. Every eye closed. Hallelujah. Is there anyone, just by a raised hand, that would say, you know, Bruce, I'm really not where I should be spiritually. I need some forgiveness today. I want to ask God to forgive me and help me. Would you just raise your hand if that's you? I want to say a prayer for you. Anybody at all this morning? Thank you. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Could we do this today as a church? Just where you're sitting, I would like people to say a prayer with me. And if we're online, for those people too. This is for those that maybe have been fallen and they're not where they should be today. It's just kind of a rededication. I'd like everyone here to repeat this prayer with me for those four or five people that raised their hands. I'd like us all to pray this prayer. And if you raised your hand, God's going to touch you and forgive you and restore you as we say this prayer. Everyone say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me and that you're with me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I have failed and I need your forgiveness. Lord Jesus, please forgive me of every sin and failure. Thank you, Lord, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful to forgive us. Lord Jesus, wash me with your blood anew and make me whole. And Lord Jesus, I commit myself to you afresh and anew. My life is yours. Take control of my life. You're my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. And friends, one more thing, just for a second, if your eyes are closed, if you're going through something, you're going through a trial, you need God's help, you need his strength, maybe you're a little down or discouraged, maybe you're hurting economically because of a job situation, maybe there's a problem in your family, I don't know, but you would just say, Bruce, would you pray for me today? I'm going through something. I need prayer. Would you raise your hand? I want to close praying for you. Amen. Most of us have something. Most of us have something. Let's do this. I'm going to pray. God saw your hand. As I begin to pray, I want you to do two things. I want you to lift your need before the Lord, and then I want you to say a quick prayer for the person on your right and on your left. Let's lift our voices. I believe as we pray, God's going to do some miracles. He's going to touch people and he's going to minister. Let's pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my friends that raised their hands saying, I have a need. Lord, I'm asking you to meet that need, whatever it is. I pray in Jesus' name for those that are discouraged, that are depressed, that you would lift them up with your joy, which is our strength today in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for for those that are so worried, maybe about the country, maybe about their situation, some that are afraid. God, strengthen them and encourage them. Lift up their faith today. Help them to turn their eyes to you, because you're greater than any situation. God, move in hurting families. Encourage and strengthen your people. Fire us up for you, God. Help us to be great seed planters in these end times. God, meet every need. Let us leave this place strengthened in you. Let us leave this place renewed and free in you, Lord. And we thank you for it. We pray you'd bless our neighbors today, our friends here. Meet every need, Father God.
This concludes the teaching. Thank you for listening, and we hope you can join us for next Sunday's service with Pastor Steve Raines.